I have a few things to tell you.
Where do I begin? She's not here. We don't have to talk halacha now, right? You want to hear about Hilchos Chanukah or running here?
No, we just did. We just did it.
Okay, that's rough.
Give me some clothes. We're off the.
Okay.
Seven off the light.
So I have two. Wait, advice. I have two unrelated things. One of them, I'll leave for last. That's like I have a challenge. Okay, a challenge, right? And then I have an unrelated thing to. I have unrelated and related. All right, let's start like this. Let's see what we get through. All right. I'm going to tell you, there's a Maridika Rashi, in this expression. Maridika Rashi, I don't think anybody focuses on the Rashi. Just like sometimes you read a Rashi, you're so happy you got chat the Rashi, go weiter. You know, like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But then there's a Rashi, listen to this Rashi. This is an unbelievable Rashi. Rashi says, in the 39th parak, in the 38th parak, in the first pasuk, Rashi says that, I don't know, the 39th parak. Rashi says, it's talking very strange. So Torah has the whole story with Yosef and the Achim, okay? And then it breaks off in the middle of the story. You're sitting there like the edge of your seat, you know? And all of a sudden, in the middle of the story, it brings in the whole story of Yehuda and Tamar. Like a very difficult story and whatever. Okay. Then, in parak Lamedtes, pasuk Aleph, it says, now we go back to the storyline. The Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma. Rashi says, what does it mean, Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma? So Rashi asked the Kasha. Rashi says, Hifzik Inyan, why is it that the Torah stopped in between the story of Yosef? Like, stopped in the middle of the storyline. So Rashi says an unbelievable thing here, which I don't think anybody knows. Rashi says, Kedei Lismaich Maise Ishtai Shal Poitifar the Maise Tamar. Why do I want the story of Eishes Poitifar, who's like a terrible Rasha, she tried to be Machshel Yosef, to the story of Tamar? Tamar was an incredible tzaddikus. Tamar knew that somehow she has to become the mother of Mashiach. She saw in Ruach HaKodesh. So she knew it's a hard, difficult story, but she knew she had to do it. She wanted. She knew she had to do this. Whatever the she knew she had to do this. So why do we have to put Eishes Poitifar together with Tamar? Listen to Rashi. Loimer lecha, mazul l'shem shemayim, avzul l'shem shemayim. Rashi just said, why? She saw in the stars, Rashi said. She saw Yosef was a big tzaddik. She saw he was a holy person. And she saw in the stars that she's going to have some type of offspring from Yosef. She didn't know, is it her? She didn't know it's her son, her daughter, right? In the end, Yosef married Taka, her daughter. But she thought that this is meant to be, and therefore she pursued it. Ad kan Rashi. This Rashi, everybody say, is absolute, it's a tema. It's a pella. It's not a pella. Everybody say, Eishes Poitifar. I mean, I know on this week's Parsha, everything that we learn is supposed to be on a different level. And, you know, you have bad midas, and therefore, you know, I could fight with my brother, so could Joseph, right? It's no shaykhis. It's like a magnifying glass. It's no shaykhis. I'm not going into this now. You're obeying, probably talk about this. You know, and the whole story with the Yehuda and Tamar, someone lost a pencil. What? I got Hashem Saved. Okay. The whole story with Yehuda and Tamar, it's like it's the darkest Shibadakis. It's something that we can't understand. But Eishes Poitifar, she did the shame Shemayim like Tamar. She did the shame Shemayim like Tamar. I mean, it's a Pella. It's not a Pella. So maybe you'll say, I don't know. You know Midrashim. I don't know. Maybe you'll look at the Midrashim and you'll see that Taka Eishes Poitifar was the Tzadekis. Right? She did the Shem Shemayim. She saw that she was going to have a children from Yosef. She did the Shem Shemayim. Such a tzaddik is to say Shem. But the Medrash is not like that. The Medrash says she spoke like a. She said Shich Leimi. Right? She said come and. The Medrash says. Arurim Rishayim on Eishes Poitifar. So what's Rashi saying that she did the Shem Shemayim? The Pella. And then it gets worse. Such a Rasha. It says. Yosef HaTzadik said, I can't marry you. You know why? The Medrash brings down. I can't marry you because if I marry you in this world, then I'll be with you in the next world in Gehenna. So then it's just Poitifar in Gehenna. So what's Rashi saying? I'm going to tell you something which is such a big insight in life. Listen closely, Kindalach, because this is a big insight. Right? And this is not the challenge. That's after. Listen closely. You know what the answer is? The answer is that Eishes Poitifar did L'Shem Shemayim, and Tamar did L'Shem Shemayim, right? But you can do L'Shem Shemayim and wind up in Gehenna, okay? Watch, okay? Eishes Poitifar did L'Shem Shemayim, yeah. But what happened? What happened? So now she wants to marry Yosef. She sees this is the ruts in Hashem. This is what I have to do. I have to do this. So she starts to chepper Yosef. And she starts to push Yosef. And Yosef finally, you know, Yosef says, no, it's not happening over here. No. Right? So what does she say? The Gemara in Yuma tells us the whole story over there. And she basically, she says, if you don't listen, I'll stamp you out. Right? You're done. Right? She's the shame shemayim. She's the shame shemayim. There comes a point where, you know, you see this is infringing on somebody. So enough. It's not meant to be. No. I have to do this. And she's willing to kill Yosef for this. She knows Yosef is a holy person. She knows Yosef is an incredible person. She understood. She had some type of chachma in the stars. But she took her l'shem shemayim and she did not stop. Do you take on the other end? You take Tamar. What's the story with Tamar? Everybody know the story with Tamar. It's like a difficult story, but there was a story. The story basically was, is that she knew, you know, Ruach HaKodesh, that in her stomach, she had the Melech Mashiach in there. She had the twins, and one of them is going to be the father of Mashiach, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. And she knew that this had to be. She saw the Ruach HaKodesh, that she had to have some type of relationship with Yehuda or his children or something. So she knew this was meant to be. L'shem Shemayim, L'shem Shemayim. But what happened when she got to the Beis Din that day? When she got there to the Beis Din, okay? At that moment, she knew all she has to say is, Yehuda, this is you. This is you. And what would happen? He would be embarrassed. I am embarrassed. Okay, but there has to be. There's Mashiach in here. All of the destiny of Klal Yisrael. Mashiach, the whole destiny of Klal Yisrael. Everything. You daven every day. And she knows she has in her stomach the destiny of all of Klal Yisrael. But you know what? But Yehuda's going to get embarrassed. Right? Yehuda's going to be done. So I'm not going, L'shem Shemayim, no? L'shem Shemayim, L'shem Shemayim. So the difference is, are you a person that is dressed in the begodim of L'shem Shemayim with midos royis ma'oid? Or no? You have midos toivis and L'shem Shemayim. Eishes Potiphar was midos royis with L'shem Shemayim. So that L'shem Shemayim, right? That's how Muslims kill children. That L'shem Shemayim can go and go and go. But then you have L'shem Shemayim that is real L'shem Shemayim, not just dressed up on Midas Royce, and that's Tamar. I have a kasha. How much would she have been, how much would Yehuda have been embarrassed? How much? What would have happened? On the spot, he would have chapped. Obviously, Hashem was Messiah of this whole thing. What would have happened? He would have said, ah, you mean those are my children? You know, I'm very glad we didn't kill you. Right? The Gemara learns from here in Saita, and that for 1 second he would have had embarrassment. So the Gemara says an incredible statement. The Gemara says, Noyach la'adam sheyapil atma lekivshana eish, and not to be malbin pnei chaveru b'rabin. Noyach. Kasha the Gemara. What's noyach? What does the word noyach mean? Noyach means that it's pleasant. It's pleasant. It's pleasant to burn in a fire. Burn in a fire and not to be malbin pnei chaveru. What's the Pashup Shah? In Tamar's brain, this is a fire. This is a nice fire. It's like a small fire, right? And this is a huge fire. Right? So it's more pleasant to go into this fire than to go into that fire. Right? Mal Diskin, at the end of his life, the Mal Diskin wasn't well. He used to give shiur. He's a weak person. So the doctors told him that he has to have tea with lots of sugar. His stomach, that's what killed him. And you know, so he used to have like a tea with like epis, you know, like 4 spoons of sugar. Right? I mean, it's like a whole tea. So during the shiur, they would give him the tea, and he would sit there and he would sip the tea. He would sip the tea, and that's what happened. And then we bring the next tea, and the next tea, and the next tea. Right? One day, in those days, you fancy people, you have a bag that says salt and sugar. I remember high-tech people, fancy people, with indoor plumbing and everything, right? In the olden days, you didn't buy like this. You used to go to the store, they would sell salt, they sell sugar, you took it like a shovel dart, and hey, you put it into the bag, and you have the salt. So if your kids are bag, who had bags? Bag. Right? You put it in like your clothes, your tefillin, you come home, you have whatever you have, right? One day, by mistake, the shamish switched the salt and the sugar, like the normal thing, white, zero shovel, man, you know these things can happen. Right? And he switched the sugar with the salt. And the mild Diskin sat there and just drank the tea. He just drank the tea and drank the tea. So afterward, they asked the mild Diskin. He drank the next, like normal, like everything normal. Right? Yeah, afterward, they realized what had happened over here, that the shamish ran in and said, okay, and whatever, right? So afterward, his wife asked the Mal Diskin, I guess she was the Mal Diskin or whatever you call it, right? So he said to her, "What? How did you do that? Like, it's an amazing thing, right?" And before I continue, I heard this story about 12 years ago. And when I heard the story, I said, you know what? You know, let me try this. Let me try this, Taka. No, just try it. No, try it, Taka. No, like maybe, what's the big deal? Maybe, I don't know, right? So I did it. I put like 4 cups of salt inside. My wife says, what are you doing? It says salt. I thought you know the story of the Mount Diskin. I sat there. Till today, I'm misupik. If I maybe it was like a bracha v'tala, right? I'm bara. I tell people sometimes a person has to drink on Yom Kippur for you know to take down pills and things like that. I tell them to do this. Bara, no shayla in the world that it's not a derech akhila. No shayla, you can't make a bracha on it. And it was mamish. I still remember it. I'm tasting it now. Right now, I taste it. And he just drank normal. So they asked the Mal Diskin, what's the pshat? So the Mal Diskin said, Nayach. Nayach, they asked him, what's Nayach? Pasha's Nayach, Shach's Nayach, right? Nayach. He said, Nayach. So afterward, the Mal Diskin, his son, explained, Nayach. The Gemara says, it's more pleasant. What's my alternative? My alternative is what? I'm drinking this tea. I have an alternative is I could say like this, and then the shamish will want to kill himself, or you know, the shamish will be so embarrassed, it'll be terrible. You know, I wouldn't be on purpose, but it's no. There's a fire here, and there's a bigger fire, so it's more pleasant to go into this fire than to go into that fire, right? So that's what's going on here, right? So you're learning from here that you can have the shem shemayim dressed up in all these midas rayas, and the worst things could happen. Now, you know, we all know the mishalim. We all mishalim, but a lot of those mishalim, they don't mamish talk to us, and I'll explain to you why. You all know those mishalim, the mishalim of that guy. You know, I know these people. Yesterday there was, you know, the mishalim Arabeim said about that guy trying to kiss the mezuzah, knocking over three old ladies, and what I you know the whole does, right? And the other one, the fourth one, you know, the kiss yesterday is by Hagbal, and there's somebody, there's a school attack. You guys probably know it. That if you look at the letter from your name, it's like mamish a school. What's a school for? Anyone know? It's a what? Anyone know? It's like a big school, Meister Chai. What? Parnassa and whatever. So yesterday, you know, yeah, whatever, everything that you want, your hairline won't resist, whatever you want it to have, right? This guy yesterday, I'm standing by the bima, right? He must have like, you know, he's that guy. What's your name? Anchel, Yehuda, Zundel, Shmerel, right? You know, and he does his last name too. What's your name? Bensia, you know, his father and his mother also, okay? Right? And the guy, he mamish, he almost knocked over the Hagba guy, you know. He punched it almost. So that's like our mishalim, you know? Or like the guy who died next to me about a month ago in the middle of the shul. In the middle of the shul, he came in the middle of Ma'ariv. Hello, Ma'ariv, hey, you come to shul and die Ma'ariv, right? And he decided to say Nishmas. Okay, I mean, Ma'ariv to say, okay, he must have something, he has to thank Hashem for. So he decided in the middle of Ma'ariv, in a shul, right, with other human beings, right, to say Nishmas at the top of his lungs. Okay? And he thought he was the chazin for bells, for Bishas Ne'ilah. He just punked down unemployed right now, right? But, you know, so that's our mishalim. You all know these mishalim. That guy, the shem shemayim, oh, right? Hello, you're sitting next to me, right? You know, hello, I'm right here. You know, all these mishalim are that guy. You know, that guy comes into Beis Medrash. Like one guy in the Beis Medrash, he walks in, he sits himself down, and all of a sudden, boom! This guy thinks he's like the Mordechai Ben Shweki, and he starts singing away, and, you know, and oh my, my, yeah! If I hate you too, we're trying to learn. Go away! All the Mishalim, right? I gotta have one story. It bothered me so much. I speak in the shul every Friday night, except for Shabbos Mevarchim, like today. That's why I just remember the story right now, because I'm not speaking there. Party time. But so Shabbos Mevarchim, I don't speak in the shul, nobody else speaks in the shul. So the last Shabbos Mevarchim, somebody comes into the shul, and he wants to show me, he holds with me. So he tells me, Rav lo medaber, like, you know, it's the same thing going on for the last 43 years. You know, Rav lo medaber, why? It's like, Shabbos Mevarchim, you don't know? Boy, you stupid. Like, okay, so I said, la, la, la. No, I say it like an American, la, la, la. And so he says to me, I only want to hear you. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's such a nice thing to say, you know, a wonderful thing. And then he did something which I'm telling you, he takes to sit. You're sitting next to me. You're sitting next to me, right? I'm the guy. You're sitting next to me. You're me, okay, dude. Right? You're the speaker, okay? I'm sitting literally right here, right? Because I'm the Rav, so I have to sit near the speaker, right? You're sitting right here.
I'm the Rav.
No, you're okay. Me.
Now, right.
Oh, right, so you're right. The Rav. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, dude. Okay. So all of a sudden, I hear, I'm trying not to exaggerate. I want to do exactly how I did it. Vayikra par oyilavram. Start speaking. Vayikra par oyilavram. Vayoyimer mazis.
Not speaking.
You know, no, it's okay. You can't speak because I'm doing shtayim mikra. Right? It was barer to me. It was barer. Barer, no shot in the world. That he wasn't yaita shtayim mikra because it was a mitzvah babavera. It was not even shayla. I had no shayla. No, it's not even shayla. The only shayla I had is a mayim chliv. What do you think, Yaakov? What do you think? Right. Like a mayim chliv to tell him. No, no, I know it's right. The only shot, I'm not going to tell him, I'm like, you know, guy's doing that, it's not Igor, you know, like, but, you know what I mean? Like, how am I saying, like, no, he's taking a yaitz, but like, do I have to tell him, or whatever, I don't know, you know, then he's going to start doing it in my shit. You know? So those mishalim you all know, but you know what? Everybody's like, we are Western civilized people, and we don't do things like that. We don't do things like that, you know what I mean? Like, you know, because we, our Shem Shemayim doesn't extend like that. But I don't know. I have a lot of faith in us. But I don't know if it's coming from, like, you know, such mitzvahs tayvis, or it's coming because our Shem Shemayim is lacking a little bit. Okay. I'm talking to myself now, but you know what I mean. We're Western civilized kind of dudes and whatever. So I just want to tell you a few stories about Western civilized individuals. You know, how do you work on this? How do you work on this to make sure? Because you could be doing L'shem Shemayim and wind up in Gehenna with Eishes Potifar. Right? How do you work on this? So the truth is that the Chaim Vital, he writes that, how do you know this? He talks about this idea. And he says something which isn't Sonegeit the Bachar. So we have to try and figure out like a measuring stick for Bachar. He says, you know how you know this? He says, you know this if the way that you act in your home, the way he's talking to you with a wife and whatever. So the way you act in a home is one way, and the way you act, you know, so I'm the guy who's helping, I'm this and that, everyone knows you can depend on me, but at home, he's, you know, so then that's a measuring stick that it's just L'shem Shemayim dressed up in Midas Rais. And when L'shem Shemayim is dressed up in Midas Rais, Saddam Hussein, yeah, see it right there. You know, that's what happens, right? Because L'shem Shemayim, you know, okay. So, but you guys, it's a hard measuring stick. It's not registered because, you know, what closed doors? I mean, your parents, so how you treat your parents. But, you know, like, it's like a long-distance relationship and, you know, it's probably not so difficult to, you know, and the roommates, like, you know what, nobody wants his roommates to know that he's like, you know, like a Meridic, a kike. You know, like, nobody, you know, like, who wants that? You know, it's like, you come and say the measuring stick for a bunker is, like, very, very difficult. So, I don't know. I'll just tell you stories anyways because that's why you come. I tell you a Meridic story. I should Meridic story. Some of them are like controversial, but I'll tell you them anyways, right? Now, Marzi, because you have to, the more you hear about these things, the more you know. So, there was a fellow who came to drive with me, and he gives money to a certain organization that helps almanas. It's a nice organization. It's not just that they give money. It's that, you know, Almana, who's going to fix her window when it breaks? She doesn't have the husband. Me, Chach, my wife, what happens when the washing machine breaks and we were first married, right? So my wife says the washing machine's broken. I thought, okay, I said, I'll fix it. Sure, what shaykh is, you're going to fix it? What are you, you know, what are you? So I thought, no, my father's a furniture store. So I'll fix it. I furniture store, washing machine, they both have like tools and whatever. I'll fix it. I also just got to the wedding, we got a toolbox. You know, it's like the best thing in the world. Right? Now that thing with the, I don't even know what the thing is, you know what I'm talking about? No, it had that like thing with the liquid inside of it. I tried to use it for Hanukkah lift once and whatever. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I'm feeling like I'm not sitting there with the thing. And I fixed the washing machine. Yeah. Yeah. Then, it's not over yet. And that's what my wife says. She says, Shragi, there's three screws there on the floor still. I go, those screws are extra. Extra. There's no such thing as extra in a what? Okay, listen, you didn't fix it and I did? So obviously, it's extra. Right? Yeah. Obviously, it's extra. No, well, I fixed washing machines, I smoked, but, you know. So, the mice, it didn't work, but so I didn't, you know. And whatever, we had to leave the deer for a day. But it's right? But this Nabuch Amana, she doesn't have a husband even to do that. Me, the next day, I you know, we called the repairman, I sat there showing him. No, I don't think you should do that. But, so she doesn't have that, right? And then, and when, you know, what does she do when the door is jammed and she's afraid to go to sleep at night? Because, you know, maybe, so they have this organization, it's a very nice organization, and they send over like a younger man like me, you know, who goes there, and he tries to fix it, and then when he doesn't fix it, they get, you know, but they, you understand the idea, that's the idea. So he was asking me a shaila about it. He gives money to this, or he used to, I don't think he does now, but he used to give money to this organization. He has different shailas in that. So I told him, come to the kohel and you'll drive with me to where I give the shiur and you'll, whatever. And then, as I'm driving, he gets a phone call. I get the phone call, and he says to the person on the phone, he says to him, I told you I cannot talk to you now. And here's something in the back. I tried hard to figure it out, but I couldn't hear what it was. I know it's important, this and that, but this is more important than this, that, or whatever. And then I chaved, and Mardik is out. Why this guy has such a Mardik Achuka to be giving to this organization for Amanas? Because he's married to one, right? So, you know, that's an example when you have this, you know, the shame shemayim, but this midas rais, right? So now I'll tell you like an interesting story. I have two stories with Rosh Hashanah. Should I tell you one with me or the other guy?
Both.
But which one should I say first?
Both.
Can't do that. It says only a Kodesh Baruch Hu is able to zakar v'shamar v'dibur echad. Says Yavama Yavo Aleha and Eishesach is usher, and it's in one deeper Hashem said it because it happens to have Eishesach being usher. If Yavama is with the Eishesach, only Hashem could do that. So which one do you want first?
First one.
Okay. So like this.
Wait, did Ray blast the guy?
What?
Did Ray blast the guy on the
car? It wasn't my place. No, but don't worry. We're getting to a good story. It wasn't my place. This was my place. Okay? So I'll tell you the story of the other guy first. The other guy first. Okay? But the other guy was like this. The other guy, my koilel was like adopted. We're still foster children in Yosemite, but you know. So the person from the adopted koilel, he told me this story. And it's like, you know, he said to me that, he said to me, he went to speak, he's not the head. The person who spoke to me was somebody that connected me through him or whatever. So he told me like this. He's a Rish Kailul, and he went to collect for his Kailul and this, that. And he went to talk to some person, some balabas, about giving money to the Kailul that he was directed to. And basically in the conversation, this guy said, you know, I don't give money to Kailul. You know that guy, I hate Kailul. You know that idiot? No, you know the guy, like, I do like the Rambam. The Rambam hates you, idiot, right? Don't quote the Rambam, right? But you know the guy. But the kids are, it came out in the middle of the conversation that this guy, I don't give money. Why does, but, so, Stamir Rashi doesn't give money to Torah. Stamir Rashi, he hates Torah. So he said, no, he has a mahalach of why? He has a mahalach, because mahalach is. Because since I only help those that help themselves. He said, God also only helps those that help. I don't know what that means. God helps everyone, but whatever. But I only help those that help themselves. So he's the Russian with a mahalach hutch. You know, but he has a mahalach, right? So this is Kayla, you know, he says like this to the guy. He says, I love this line. He says to him, okay. You know, I'm not getting anything now. You know, he knows he's not getting, right? He says to him, okay. You know, we were trading stories. I told him mine. He says, the machlik is who's is better. You'll decide. You guys will decide after. So he says, so your shita is you only help those that help themselves. And this Kailo Jungerman, he's got 7-8 children. I know, whatever, who asked him to have that many children or whatever, Hitler held like that too. But Lemaisa, he has 7-8 children in the house and they don't have food, right? They're hungry, right? So what about them? What about them? No, forget the guy who's not helping himself. So he said, so the answer is Pashit. The Rosh Kailo said, the answer is Pashit. The answer is because I only help those that help themselves and this 7-year-old doesn't help himself. So Meli, he should starve and die also. Hell too, idiot. Right? So what's that called? He gives money. He does. He gives money to things, right? What's that called? That is called that it's a shame shemayim. I give a shame shemayim, right? But there's so much midas rais in there. So Mamela, all the shame shemayim, but there's so much midas rais. So now you'll decide. I have in one of my koilim, I was a young man in one of my koilim, and I make it sound like it's 30 koilim. There's 2 koilim. There's 2 koilim. And in my house, we have a koilim too. You know, me and my wife, the kids. Right? 3 koilim, right? And I tell you guys, we can be called this a koilim also, no? If we call it a koilim, we get donuts. Koilel. Right?
Right? So, and a koilel check.
Sushi out there. Yeah. No time. We didn't have... No, Roch Bear, what do you mean? Yeah, Kislev was this week, you know. So, the kids are, somebody told me his uncle likes my shirim and whatever, and he wants to meet me, and I found out his uncle is a Kedai person for Rosh Kailo to meet, and whatever. And, of course, I'll make time for him. Yeah. So, he sits me down, and he says to me, he really likes the mahalach of the kailo halacha, and you know, it's the right thing, and okay, who's this guy? I'm saying, I agree with you, I couldn't agree with you. I agree with you, man. I agree with you. Oh, do I agree with you? And then he says like this, he says, but he has a mahalach. His mahalach is he only gives money to kailoim that are, you know, Torah avoy de gmilas chasada. Right? I'm getting nervous. Like, oh my goodness, he's going to tell my guys to work and avoid them. Right? Where are we going over here, right? And so, what does he want? He says, learning is very important. He says, Avoida. I want that the Kailal should have a davening in the Kailal. I'm thinking to myself, Gishmak will have chakras. You know, 9:30. I'll be the Gishmak, the Kailal, and the Ganser belt. So he's like, no, he wants Mincha. At one, I told him, it's like not always so practical because, you know, in the winter time, summertime, you know, it's very difficult because sometimes the Mincha will only start at 1:20 and guys have to pick up kids and things like that, whatever, you know, whatever. Right? So, okay, but this is, you know, you want a Torah, a vaccine, so, you know, let's see what he gives, and that might be worth it, and whatever, you know. I tell a guy, you know, 100 bucks a mincha. All of a sudden, you can have a lot of mispalim, you know. So, but then he says to me, he wants chesed too. I said, Versteitzel, young man, it's not about chesed. What is it? Noyach loy, that he should have never been born such a Russia. What are you talking about? He says, no, but I want it in the Kailo. I said, okay, Versteitzel, we'll have people asking shilas to each other, or whatever. They're answering shilas. He says, no. So he has a mahalach that every Thursday, at, you know, depending which kailo, yeah, that the 6 o'clock the second day and the second day, or 12 o'clock the end of the first day, he wants them to pack boxes for Toim Chai Shabbos. That's what he wants. I think Toim Chai Shabbos is a wonderful thing, right? I told him, I said, let me explain it. A kailo is, you know, avada. I think it's a wonderful thing, and everyone should do chesed and find a place to do chesed. But that's not what a kailo is. I agree, it's a wonderful thing, but not a kailo. It's okay, but that's, you know, that's where I give money for, and that, I told him, once I got this, I said, you know, I have to, like, you know, Kalis, you're not getting money because of what you're about to say. So now you can say whatever you want. Okay. You have a business? You have a business, right? Yeah. It's a nice operation there. You have, like, you know, workers and whatever, right? Huh? What are we talking here? The size of my first seder kailo, the size of my second seder kailo? You know, like 100 yungalite or like 40 yungalite? Like, what are we talking here, right? 50 people, 50 workers. I said, I have a kasha, you know. Thursday, you know, what time do they finish work? Right? What time do they finish work? You know, 9 to 5. Okay, the kailo goes till 7. But 9 to 5? Okay. Sugmer, at 4 o'clock, why don't we, you know, so what's the answer? Why 4 o'clock when we start packing boxes for Damda Taichne Shabbos? What's the answer? The answer is because it's a business, and this is how the business runs. He says, right, okay. He hears me. He's a little bit, you know, he chats already. He says, okay, but this is what I hold. They should get money. That's what I hold. Fine. I tell them, no. You hold that because you have money, therefore you can control me. But I'm not married to you. Next day, the nephew comes to me, says to me, Rebbe, the whole family's talking about his this kid's father. It's like, finally, someone talked to him like that, right? Because, you know, because his wife can't, right? So I said, yeah, but your father's the one without the money. Right? No, but the Shem Shemayim, right? He doesn't give. He doesn't give. You're a gizber of a kadosh. What does it mean, give? It means that kadosh baruch Hu gave you money and you give, right? You give. I don't give. This is that I control. So I control business. I control my wife. I control my children. This is just another way for me to control. Everybody say, I have no chance. I have no problem if you want to start your own kailo like that and back boxes. Can you imagine my second seder dudes in the middle, you know, with the donut shop? First of all, they'll eat all the stuff, right? Can you imagine those guys in the middle? You'd be like, what, you know, anything left? You ate the box, you ogre. Like making dental floss out of their cardboard. Okay, I have to stop because you guys are going to leave, but I want to leave you with a challenge. One challenge. I could be Meirich on it for half an hour, but it'll be just me and Mandel at the end, right? And Sammy's leaving me, so whatever, right? I want to leave. All right. You're telling me this, Sambo. Why are you telling me this? What? This is not cool. Like, in the middle of nowhere, boom. Like, everybody knew except for me. I was the only one that didn't know. All right? Everybody knew. Did you realize the travel agent knew before me? All right? Okay, we'll talk after.
No.
Why is this? All right? You also left me. Listen to me. If I say it's a challenge, I want you to think about it. I can't be Meirich, but there's a medrash over here that says, I'll say Mamish Bekitzer. The medrash says that Yosef Atzadik, Potiphar saw Hashem Itoy. Hashem Itoy. So how do you learn Pashup Shat Hashem Itoy? Pashup Shat, it means is that he had a lot of siyata d'shmaya. Hashem is with him. The guy has got siyata d'shmaya. Hashem is with him, right? The Medrash says not like that. Listen closely. I'll say b'kitzer b'kitzer. The Medrash says mar d'kizach. The Medrash says everywhere, everything Yosef did, he was mumbling. Everything he did, he was mumbling. So Potiphar, the Potiphar says, what the world's going on over here? Everything you do, you mumble. You mumble. What is this? You have kishuv. Yes, in the Medrash says the Medrash over here. Where's in the peivav over there? He says you're doing kishuv. You're doing kishuv. So he says. He says, no. Everything I do, I talk to Hashem. I say, please, Hashem, help me make the drink be tasty to Potiphar. Please this, right? Please this Potiphar. Please, when I bring in the pot, make sure that he smokes it well. Whatever was going on over there, right? You know, that derech ever, right? And that's what I do. So he saw, not what you think, Hashem itoy, that he had said to Shema. He saw this guy, Hashem itoy. He lives with God. Everywhere he walks around, everything he does, he speaks to God. That's it. And you see it throughout the parsha, okay? It says, Potiphar's wife wants to make a veira with him. He says, how can I do it? V'chatasi l'Hashem. Where's God? Where's God? He's here. He's here. He's right here. He's right with him, right? And then there's a Moir Dika Gemara in Yuma. This is unbelievable. And everyone reads the Gemara wrong. I'm going to tell you pshat. The Gemara says, the conversation between Potiphar's wife and Yosef. She says at the end, when she sees it's not happening, she says, you, I'll gouge your eyes out, I'll blind you. He says, Hashem perkei chivrim. He says, I'll break your back, Hashem seikei kufim. I'll throw you into a pit, Hashem matir asurim. Imagine having a conversation with this kind of dude, right? So everyone learns the Gemara like this. Everyone learns what's written in the Gemara. The Gemara is like this. You're going to put me in jail, Hashem will take me out. Right? You're going to blind my eyes, Hashem will give them back. Right? That's how you learn that. That's not written in the Gemara. That's not Pshat in the Gemara. You know what the Pshat in the Gemara is? She's telling him, I'm going to blind you. He says, if I'm going to be blind, it's not because you blinded me. Hashem blinded me. Shaykhis. Right? If you put me in jail, you put me in jail? God put me in jail. Shaykhis. Shiksa. Right? You broke my back? God broke it. Because everything he does with Hashem. And that's the reason why. That's the reason why he was not mushba at all. Nothing can touch. Rabbi Tzai. Right, everybody said, when you go to the mikveh today, okay? I want you to, I give you two challenges, okay? This is not the challenge I meant, but this is the first challenge. The first challenge, yeah. When you go to the shower, you want us to go to the shower, right? You know, you're like, when you go to the toilet today, okay? Wherever you go, and you're going to be sitting there, dart nazeh, right? dart nazeh, and you're sitting there, dart no clothes, but I feel the underheisenisht, okay? And you're sitting there like this. I want you to sit there for me. This is not the challenge. We're getting to the challenge. I want you to sit there. By the way, Rashad, what goes on here stays here. Okay? Yeah. So, what are you talking about? Halacha. It was wonderful. Everybody say, oh no. I want you to sit there for a second and say, I'm not dressed. I'm buck naked. Okay? You can say it out loud, even. All right? I don't think we should have like groups of both group together saying this, right? But, you know, I'm not dressed. Nakedai. Nakedai. I'm not dressed. Can I walk outside right now like this? My goodness, if you guys take that challenge. I sent her shrugging. Alice, what the world did you tell them? I worked so hard. I want you. Would I be able to walk outside like this? Would I be able to do it? Right? I hope the answer is no. Right? I'm talking about Sarat skin. Would I be able to walk outside? Walk outside over here by base and straw, by still. I'm able to. Right? There's no one I hope and pray to God that would say yes. So I have Kasha. How in the world did Joseph do this? How did he do it? She grabbed his clothing. It's going to like give it away, you know? It's going to give it away, right? How did he do it? Because I know the verb. Because it's an assignment, and when you have an assignment, you just run. I get Rabbi Zayin, but how did he do it? Forget everything. I know the whole verb. Because when you have an assignment, you just run. You don't ask questions, you run, right? How the world did he walk outside not dressed? How did he have enough to forgetting all the things, and he's going to get in trouble or whatever. How did he do it? You know what the answer is? Because Hashem Itoi. Because there's nothing else around him. You're going to blame me? Shaykhis, Pakeach Ifrim, my God does that. Matar Asurim, God does that. There is no around me. So when I walk around, that everything I do, God said this, God did, please Hashem, help me this, help me that. You called me, Sambo. Remember you called me, I told you, I'm stuck behind this bus. You know those buses in this villa? The guy is parking a tractor trailer in the middle of this villa over there. I said, I'm going to be here forever. It's going to be so annoying. I said, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me, right? All of a sudden, you see this guy who's like, almost like flu, like whatever, right? Just talk to God. Hashem Yitov, everything you do. Now, I can't tell you to be, and when you do that, so then you are not surrounded. So there's nothing can touch you. Nothing can touch you. Hashem Yitov, nothing can touch you. No shaykhis. Nothing can be mashpi on you. And you'll have to see that this. So now I can't tell you, live like this for, all your life and whatever. I gotta take 1 hour on Hanukkah. Find 1 hour to do this on Hanukkah. I don't even know if I should say every day because it won't happen. I don't know what to do. Right? And it doesn't have to be an hour. It has to be a shazmanius, like 52 minutes and 33 seconds, right? But take 1 hour. 1 hour. When not you're in the base medrash, so that you can't get Pshat and Rashi because the whole time, God, what's Pshat and Rashi? Tough guy, you're talking to yourself, you know? Right? Well, you go out. I'm sure you go out for like an hour. For 1 hour, you know, everything you do. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me over here. I should get a cab on time. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I eat, Mr. Bruce says, in Simon Kufsam, Bob, it's Kofi and Gimel. Before you eat, you thank Hashem for the food, right? Daven for the food that you have, right? Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The food should fill me up and that it shouldn't, you know, I shouldn't vomit and, you know, that I shouldn't get sick and whatever. To talk to God. For 1 hour, let him be in every single part of your life, right? You'll see, there'll be no nesiyonis, and you'll see, you'll get siyata tishma, tremendous siyata tishma, right? And then we'll get like t-shirts. I took the challenge, you know? I took the challenge, the back will say, I failed, you know? Yeah, and you'll see, it's experience. I'm not saying to live like this for 24/7 all the time. It's not shaykh, that's yaisa vatsalik, right? But you can try it. And then you'll see, then after the course of life, you can do it 15 minutes a day, 1 minute a day, you know, when you drive, do it sometimes, and whatever, you know. Call to a good Shabbos.
Did anyone kind of answer for last week about why...